So I reiterate here, the bill is dead.
The story of this great city is about the years before this night.
We are great!
Hey everyone, it's a new episode of HoHo Hong Kong. I'm sitting here with my best friend and someone else.
Who's he gonna be?
Who is it?
Which one's which? Yeah, exactly, Mohammed.
fight! new episode. Sound a little tired, maybe. We just wrapped up the festival, everyone, about 2 hours ago, and we're still in Melbourne. Vivek, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm glad that the festival's done, because this is like night after night, 12 shows with barely two gaps in the middle.
Yeah.
And by this time, you are in autopilot mode compared to the beginning when we did the podcast as the three of us.
Yep.
Now you're like, I don't know if it's going to work. Do I have the full hour? Things like that. Now it's like, oh, I know. At the six-minute mark, I should be saying this. At the 12-minute mark, I should be saying that, right? So definitely it is... Happy to see that the festival is done. We can have a little short break, and I'm very grateful that the turnout was better. It did smash, I wouldn't say smash, it did break last year's records. It didn't smash it. It didn't do that, but definitely it's good to do that. And my final show was literally the hottest, if not the second hottest crowd of my whole run. So that was a good way to end everything. What about you, the two of you?
So Annie is with us on the podcast and was with me at the festival.
Yep, just can't get rid of me.
Just life in general.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much. That's like we have spent every minute together practically.
Yeah, pretty much. Except when you did a wedding podcast, which was interesting. Tell the audience a little bit.
Oh, yeah. So I'm doing a sponsored podcast at the moment. It's about weddings, and it's a vodcast as well. And the production value is huge.
Wow.
Because I'd originally thought about having a wedding podcast, but didn't do anything about it. Then this company came along.
What is a wedding podcast?
Yeah, and tell people. I don't think people understand.
What does it mean? Like, do you say yes?
So no. It's because the brand is a wedding insurance company. They wanted to hear about people's disaster stories.
Hold on. Wedding insurance company. Explain this concept to me.
And also explain your connection to weddings.
If the wedding doesn't work out, you get to claim money? Is that
pretty
what
much,
it is?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So like I'm a wedding celebrant.
Get married now.
I mean, like any kind of insurance, you can go and insure your car, your house. Yeah. But people often don't think to insure their wedding that they sometimes spend more money on than a house deposit or a car.
Yeah.
So, like, if the average cost is $60,000, why wouldn't you insure it so that
that's
if anything goes
Hong
horrible,
Kong, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So horribly wrong.
Oh, you mean like to ensure that the wedding goes on, not like the marriage remains.
No, you can't insure for that.
Oh,
so you should. If she says no, you get some money back.
I think that's just called gambling. That's just placing bets.
That's like, something shady is happening.
Yeah,
there,
bookies.
Right? Yeah, right? Yeah. Like all the underage marriages just go up immediately.
Yeah.
It was like life insurance. You can also insure against that. There would be fraud around
too,
right?
Yeah. So, sure.
Not encouraging fraud of any kind, but let's say like on your wedding day, someone gets really sick and they can't make it. You can't do the wedding. Like it's your actual mother or father, right? You go, okay, we have to cancel or postpone and let's try and get some money back. So yeah, they hooked up with me and...
Because you're a wedding celebrant.
Yeah. And they expected a lot of disaster stories, but to be honest, like the best ones are from Reddit. So we've gone and cast the net and had people submit stories, but then we also mix them in. We had comedic guests to talk about weddings of their own or ones that they've been to that have been horrible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was 3 days that I worked on top of the doing the festival at night and then running around during the day.
What's the jingle for that show? Is that
we don't know. It hasn't been edited.
I don't. Objection. Forever hold your peace.
I think they should hire you. The job's still open.
Right? Oh, that'd be cool. I could totally imagine like a whole bunch of like crying. Like, you know,
the
that
sound
kind of
effects.
Stuff.
The cheesy
What is the name of the Netflix show? About weddings, like the reality
so
TV
many.
Show.
Which
love,
one?
Love, love Married
is blind.
At First Sight or something?
Yeah, Married at First Love is Blind. Is that
love
the one
blind.
Where they only see each other when they're about to get married?
With, otherwise, it's through a wall. Like, they talk through a wall.
That basically reminds me of, like, dating on the internet in the early, like, late 90s, basically.
Yeah.
when you can have like an entire relationship with a person online.
Oh yeah, yeah. Then
right,
turns
it's
out
kind of the same.
They're catfishing you. Still happens.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, catfishing or like, you know, she's fat or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that's not. Yeah, that's yeah. Not
that
what
is
I
the premise actually. Yeah,
that is the
there
premise.
Are a few episodes where some of them are fat.
So how? So this is basically the non-porn version of a glory hole.
Wow, you two went there. Yeah.
It is. It's like,
it's midnight.
Straight to the fat shaming and the glory holes because the festival's over. They can't kick us out.
Exactly. It's the late show, everyone.
Yeah, and it's like Melbourne audience. I'm kind of sick of them. So I have my audience in Hong Kong who like our silly jokes.
Yeah.
Who are not going to be offended. So we're going to talk to them.
Yeah, Mel's had a hard time with the PC culture here.
I did. Okay. She actually would get us straight into our topic.
I have an Auslan interpreter and he has no idea what that means. So
yeah.
Australian Sign Language, and I've used this guy or had an interpreter,
which is sign language with an Australian accent.
Yeah,
by the way. It's
so
already
like,
fucking silly.
So it's like all the fingers curve a bit more.
Exactly.
Now they have
sound
different,
more nasal.
I think they have different signs for different words, right? So there's like the British version and the American version.
Yeah.
And it's been 5 years. Always get one. He's my go-to guy. And Mo's never worked with an Auslan interpreter before. And I had to set some rules. Like you're not supposed to interact and make the whole act about making fun of them.
So you're not supposed to interpret the interpreter.
Yeah, it gets too meta and weird. And then I also told him to like just stay on track with your jokes. He derailed immediately within 5 minutes. He saw a person in the audience wearing a face mask.
Yeah.
Like, and then he said, "What do you have? AIDS?"
Oh wow.
And the Auslan interpreter had to interpret that in the most PC city in the world. Yeah. And I was backstage like, no.
So what is the interpretation of AIDS? Like you use it, you make a ring with your left hand and like your index finger going through the ring in the right hand.
For what?
For
AIDS. I don't know.
Like, you form two holes with your left hand. And then
That was. But I mean, it was kind of like I didn't actually. To be fair, like yes, I derailed that show, but it wasn't because of him. Like he had not.
Yeah.
It's just the poor guy was just at the one show that I just said something
had
dumb.
A mask.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, wrong place,
poor
wrong
man.
Time. He was a collateral.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Oh, no.
Oh man.
But yes,
what about the people who were actually watching the interpreter? They must have been like, the fuck is
going on? Yeah, but I got some messages from my friends afterwards being like, oh, we were worried when he dropped that AIDS thing. But he won us back. He won us back.
Yeah, yeah. I won him back. But that was a particularly, tougher show.
Yeah.
But also, like, I was telling Annie, it does suck because my first time at this festival and it's 12 nights.
Yeah.
And, like, after, like, that show, the one that she's referring to is the last show of the first week.
Mm-hmm.
Was a Sunday.
Yeah.
And then and then we had the Monday off.
Yeah.
And as soon as we started on Tuesday, which is the second on last week.
Yeah.
Every show is as a killer.
Yeah.
And it just means that what I learned from this is that I need to have more preview shows, like run the same set over and over, which is a lot of acts here do.
Yeah.
Because they have access to that market. We don't in Hong Kong.
No, we don't. Yeah.
I could have like toured it around Asia, but I don't have that.
Yeah.
Like that short term time to like do that. But yeah, every time, I wasn't like for the last week, no worries at all. I'm like,
yeah.
I know his show is going to be good.
I think like this is the little behind the scenes info we can give our audience.
Yeah.
That for many people who come to the festival shows, they think many comedians come with a show we've tried, tested for a whole hour. We're like, this is going to work and everything.
Yeah.
The first few nights, you're like, I don't even know if I have a whole hour.
Definitely. Right? The timing thing is the biggest
concern. The timing gets off a lot.
I was so anxious about, I don't know if I have 15 or 35.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to hit the 22, 23 minute mark.
Yeah.
It's so specific, especially when we're trying to. At first, we're sharing a 55-minute slot.
Yeah.
You do the maths on that with a bit of housekeeping and a Q&A. I'm like, oh, that's hard to calculate. And so we changed it to a full 60-minute show. And it matters because
it matters a
at
lot.
The festival-managed venues, like they own the festival,
they
write notes every night and they will put a mark against your name if you're like continuously running 4 minutes over, which we were for the first few days. And then we asked to have a full hour and they said yes.
I love,
we were like
so what
back
you,
in the good books.
So what you did with the timing is the exact same thing that the US government does with their debt. Just raise the ceiling.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Going past our time, make it a longer duration.
Yeah.
Borrow
problem
more from
solved.
Other
exactly.
Places. Yeah.
But we also bought a cheap like alarm clock from Kmart.
Oh, no. I knew it was going to be bad. I sent him out on a mission. There's a shop called Daiso. It's like a $2 store, right? They didn't have any. And then I Googled around. He was in the city. I was sending him like the mission going, okay, divert, go to Kmart. They've got some
it
there.
It was also late at night.
Yeah.
So they're about to close. But anyway, I mean, these exact alarm clocks also exist in Hong Kong at like Miniso or whatever. It's basically a very basic alarm clock that you put next to your bed.
Yeah.
And it's like it like the screen lights up in the dark. And it doesn't really light up, but you can see it in the dark. So you
But he sent me a picture of two types of alarm clocks. One was that one, and the other one was a much fancier, like sturdier
with, like, Bluetooth
looking one.
And stuff.
Yeah, but I'm always the person who goes for quality over like price.
Yeah.
I'm like, if that looks like it's gonna last, like why don't you get that?
Yeah.
No, of course not. It's Moat. He goes the $7 option.
I got the $7 option, but also because we only wanted it for the stage. I'm not gonna get a fancy. The other one literally had a radio in it. Like an actual radio. It's like, that's silly. So
$21 is only one show ticket.
That's true.
Yeah, anyway, it was a combination of mistakes that led to disaster.
Yeah, so what happened is that we put it on the stage. So we put it in front of the one of the lighting rigs. So actually the audience can't see it. We can see it, which is good to keep track of time. But because it's a cheap alarm, what happened is that we left and there's another act after us in the same room. And it went off during their set.
Oh. Also because I must have put shitty batteries.
Yeah,
already
she did put rechargeable shitty batteries.
Depleted. No, I think they were just ones that I'd half used from like other ventures.
Yeah.
And then, it went off during Rob Orton's show and we weren't there. And then ever since that night, which was like the second night, someone had to grab that alarm clock every night and take it away from the room.
To make sure.
Like, yeah.
It's like a literal ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
Any moment now.
Any moment.
No, my room actually had a digital clock on the floor, like a red lit up.
Oh, that's what they should
I mean, I thought they added this show. I'm like, oh, that's pretty all right. I mean, I usually have my watch on me all the time with a timer counting down so I can keep track of that. But that clock allows you to kind of like, a quick glimpse, like, oh, it's a 9
Yeah, I like that. Like now I'm so used to it that now that we have it on stage every night that I actually... Probably the same alarm clock. I can just use it in Hong Kong.
Yeah,
it's
should.
Good. It's good to keep you at time.
I mean, like, having a digital clock with an actual time on it so you know, like, how long it is. I mean, the best, obviously, is having, like, a timer for your set where it's, like, 15 minutes, a green light.
Oh, the countdown. Sure.
Yeah, and then it goes to yellow light and red light. That.
I don't know if I did. Like, I did shows with the countdown, and it actually, like, I didn't like it that much.
Because it stresses you out,
It stresses you out. I think so. Because you're, like, thinking, like, you know, you see, like, 4 minutes, oh, shit, I'm too slow. Now you're, like, stressed out.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, I think Sydney Comedy Store has the timer.
No, they don't. They don't have that one.
Comedy Republic, one of them, one of the bigger clubs I did here, had a timer. But yeah, anyway. Yeah, it's like kind of stressful.
Yeah.
I try to look at it once, though. I try not to look at it at all until you just need to check in near the end.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, on track or, ooh, gaping hole. And then that happened to me in Sydney Lunar New Year show. They have a huge one. And it was like a minute 30. I was like, I thought I just did my last joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 7 minutes. I'm like, okay.
Are you guys together?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Where are you from?
Yeah. It's the new Lunar Year, everyone. Let's all get to know each other.
Okay.
So actually, so just to give us some more context to the listeners, so basically the festival, every night you have your time slot. That's your slot that you do your hour show. And then before you as a certain person, after you as a certain person, basically the same show, same slot for the whole festival, basically. Then if you should sell out your tickets really well, they can offer you an extra show.
Right.
Which the two of you did. You did do an extra show.
Yeah.
So the extra show, so I'm curious, that when the festival contacted you about the extra show...
We contacted them.
We contacted them.
You're like, looky still.
Yeah. Look here. Hello, can I have some attention?
Like, well, it's because we also know that even though we are selling out and we deserve an extra show, they're just too busy. And there are bigger stuff.
A lot of people were adding shows.
A lot of people
were
not that special. Like, we did well. I know, because obviously a lot of shows also did not do well.
Yeah.
So we did very well selling out almost every night.
Yeah. The subject of the email was scoping out extra shows.
Yeah.
Like, we're just having a feel. We were prepared to not be given anything as well.
But they did. And when they did offer us, it was a great offer, except that it's a bit late, which is fine because they have a lot on their hands. But they offered us basically a room that is basically double the space in Town Hall on the same night as the closing night. But we just didn't have enough time to promote it. And we still got 50% of the room, which is actually almost the original capacity of our original room.
Oh, okay, so you added an extra show.
So we added an extra show.
Yeah, it was definitely worth it.
Yeah,
it was well worth it from every aspect, including even money. Like, on the extra show,
we still made money.
We made money on it, too. So,
But your room, I'm certain, was the one we were offered as well when we initially got a Trades Hall offer.
Yeah.
And then seeing it in person, like, did you fill that space? Because I feel like it's definitely for a much bigger, more famous act.
I liked that room. Like, I enjoyed it, as in, like, when I had half the room full, it still felt very full. Because what would happen is that people wouldn't fill each row. So you would have like, you know, the row I believe is like 20 or 16 seats per row.
And then like 90-seater, right?
90-seater, yeah. So it was around 16 seats. And like on the nights when it was like a bit lower, you'd see like 16 seats, maybe like 10 would be full. So four here, empty here. And it still fills up the whole room. You're like, all right, this still feels very good.
Yeah.
So no, I like the room a lot. Initially, I was like, Trades Hall, it's a bit far out.
That's what I think, because we offered that. And I don't know much about which venue is better. Annie, on Annie's advice, she was like, you know, Trades Hall is not that.
Yeah,
like, dude, we didn't get a lot of foot traffic and stuff. But again, your audience is very different.
Yeah, they can't.
Your audience are coming for you anyway. Yeah,
specifically. Yeah. So like when I enter Trades Hall before my show, I can already see, I'm like, this is my audience. I can see them sitting around hanging out.
And you mean the Chinese ones? Yeah, it's quite.
I don't look at them that way. Well,
my friends were like, I think is it racist that they're coming in and they just see us and they're like, Annie Louie, off you go. Well, it is true though. They're being positively reinforced every time. Like there's no one else.
Exactly. Yeah, no, which is fine. I mean, that's what I learned with the festival is that, okay, so I was in the city before. So when you're smack dead in the center of the city, so think of it like we're in central area. The problem is like parking's a headache. So a lot of my audience are driving in or whatever, and they're like, oh, parking, I gotta find parking and all that stuff. Whereas I was at Trades Hall. So think of Trades Hall, basically you're in, I don't know, like Quarry Bay or like just off, Tin Hau, right?
Right.
Just a bit off Causeway Bay. And over there, it's a bit not so compact with people and not so crowded, so parking is easier. So if anything, they probably appreciated that. They're not stressed out about parking. They got parking, walk over, we're all good.
Mm.
And I did like it because, like, number one, Trades Hall, the whole vibe is like your own little world where it's not crazy packed. You know, you leave and everyone's like, I got to run here, I got to run there. And it's really nice vibe. I really didn't expect it. I thought, oh, man, we're a bit off out of the city. Now, actually, I'm like, if I get the same offer next year with this venue, I might do it again.
Really?
Trades Hall, I was like, it's pretty nice, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's really good because it works for everyone and they would love to have you back.
So
there.
One of my opening jokes, actually, was that, oh, every year the festival treats me blah, 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 blah. And now, but this year they gave me a venue with like neon pink fluorescent lights, which I was like, I cannot believe how culturally insensitive it is, because that in Hong Kong is basically like a brothel. I can't believe that. And I was like, you have these different rooms, and you're like, hey man, which room are you going to tonight? You know, that was pretty good. I went there last time, it was pretty good. I would recommend
the
one.
The spa brothel.
Yeah, this guy's pretty good. You should go for this one, man. I'll go there tomorrow. You know, I'm going for this one today. You know, it's just so stupid. But I would put it this way, is that the whole run, initially, I could definitely sense that the venue weren't really sure with our audience, because like, we take photos and this and that. But after a while, they're like, okay, so this group is going to come in and take photos. We know the designated space. And no one's like, what the fuck's going on? I was like, oh, yeah, this is what happens now.
Yeah.
Yeah, after the
show. We just went and made our own designated space.
We made our own designated space because Town Hall is the most strict among all the festival-managed venues.
Yeah.
And the turnaround, it's Town Hall. Like, it's a literal Town Hall that is still functioning, which means there are, like, alleyway, like, the corridors are quite tight because they're designed for, you know, city planners and stuff. So between shows, there's just no time to hang out outside, which means Annie and I just decided to do meet and greet downstairs in front of Town Hall.
So who made the executive decision to do meet and greets for your show?
I think both of us were like,
I mean, we were racking our brains about any merch we could sell, but nothing good came to us for the theme of the show. And last year I did a merch table selling chocolate, and that was so fun. It just gave people a reason to stick around, and then they'd start eating the chocolate immediately.
Actually, luckily we didn't have any merch because there's nowhere to sell it.
They'd give you some space in the foyer.
They would. Yeah.
But they always try to clear people out of that area for that reason in case someone else is selling shit.
So
we went there, but it meant that sometimes we'd be blocking foot traffic or people would have to pause while we took photos. And then Saturday nights were crazy stressful, and they just scream at everybody for doing anything.
So again, like, just to give everyone an idea, you're at the Town Hall where that's the smack center of everything. Around you is like
the epicenter.
So many venues that's happening shows every 10 to 15 minutes. There's a new show happening.
Yeah.
People lining up, people leaving. You got people going over here, people getting lost, looking at the signs, where should I go?
Yeah.
I need the washroom, all that shit. Whereas that said, like, where my venue was a bit off, I'm like, oh, it's still peaceful.
Yeah.
People are coming, they're enjoying shows.
Yeah, the staff are quite chill.
Very chill, very
chill. The staff are way more chill. Mm-hmm. Like, we have actually had one complaint for a couple of audience members saying that, like, the front of house staff were kind of like aggro, I guess, with them just like moving them between,
pushing them in,
pushing them, as like, you know,
Oh, security is also very aggro. Only one staff, one security guard recognizes us. So every single day walking in is a humbling experience because they do bag checks for regular people and not for artists.
But
so
also Madame here lost her festival pass.
Oh, you lost your festival pass?
It's somewhere in a pocket, I think.
Oh, so you went the physical pass.
I don't know
pass.
Where it is.
No, the physical pass. The physical pass is, a card. Yeah. I have mine. So even when they don't recognize me, I just show it to them.
Yeah.
She's above the law.
Yeah. And so I have to have a "don't you know who I am" single time, every day.
And they're like, "No, we don't."
But on the other side of things, so we've been talking about the logistics of the whole festival, getting people lining up, how do you do all that stuff. So for someone who's never been to the festival, it's hard to explain. It's hard to explain how chaotic it can be, but it all works and it's just fun. It's got a good vibe. Like, oh, where are you going, man? Oh, we're going to this show? Okay, I'll try
that. Yeah, you also end up running into people all the time.
It's
almost like just like, imagine in Hong Kong if the festival is between Soho
It's a pub crawl.
Pub crawl.
Yeah, it's
exactly.
It's between the comedy shows.
If it's one comedy festival or one arts festival is run between Soho and Saipun.
Yeah.
And every bar is participating.
Everything. Yeah.
That's basically it. You will end up going in circles.
Yeah, you're going crazy.
It's like when 30 buildings that have this festival. And you just keep seeing them over and over again.
But on the other hand, for performers, though, like, we try to go catch a lot of shows and stuff. And the truth is, everyone will be, I'm going to watch that show, I'm going to watch this show. And nobody ever really says, okay, let's all go watch that show together. It's like, no, I don't give a shit. Mm. I'm doing this, you're doing that, who cares? And we usually come together this thing called Festival Club at the end of the night where everybody comes over a drink or just hangs out for a little bit.
Right, the bit of diseases. We already established that on the podcast.
Yeah. Now, you did mention that your show did get reviewed, which is interesting because I do a Cantonese show and all these years no one's ever reviewed me, mostly because the Cantonese audience is like, why do we have to review?
Right.
We're not going to review.
I agree.
Your show should be great. Why would I even come for it if it's not good?
I am the review. I paid the money. The review is if they come back or not. That's the review.
Yeah, and I have to say I'm very proud to say this year a lot of returning customers. And my favorite thing was seeing them on a Saturday where they came back saying I came last year and I brought my friends as well this year. Mm. And even tonight they're like, oh yeah, I saw you last time. I brought back and a lot of new faces as well. So I was like, hey, you know what? This is all good.
It's great actually because mine, like Annie has done the festival a few times, obviously. And
playing the long game because I've had people, a lot of people said they came in 2022. I don't know what they were doing last year, but then they came again this year. So it's like a slow burn.
Yeah, but also I think between, like you have had your show reviewed many times. I have had like, I wouldn't call reviews, but like media interviews sometimes before or after the show promoting something. So there are like quotes from that, like because the journalists would have seen me, but it's not, they did not come to review the show. Sometimes they come to see the show to promote a tour or whatever. So it's not the same experience.
Yeah.
So this time we've had, but also I don't believe just a blanket statement from me. I don't believe these reviews, honestly, it should exist at all.
It's too subjective.
Positive or negative?
Too subjective.
It's too subjective. That's it. That's really it. It's not like reviewing a football game.
Yeah.
When it's like, oh yeah, this team was like pretty bad.
Yeah.
The score reflects it. The audience are booing them. There's just factors. And actually, the proof is exactly what our reviews are like. We had 3 reviews so far. We might get more. But at the time of this recording, we had 3 reviews all on star system. And they are 2, 3, and 5.
Stars. Yeah, 2 stars, 3 stars, and 5 stars.
Which, again, of course, that shows how subjective and honestly dumb the system is of just like, just... It's fine if they are a paying, like that's what I told Annie as well when it came out. It's like, it's fine if they're a paying customer writing something on their blog, but if they're genuinely a paying customer.
Yeah.
But if you are going to put your review, even if it's very good, by the way, on a newspaper or a publication that is now seems like it represents the masses, that's one person's opinion. That's insane.
Yeah.
They give you a request, it comes through, and you accept or reject. And I feel like it's a gamble, and I'm sitting there going, ooh, what do I click? And I think given it's Mo's first time and you're kind of banking on I'll roll the dice for 3 and above.
Yeah.
essentially you don't want anything less than 3. Like 4 is amazing, but like I was saying, like 3 minimum. But we had the time that we, from when I accepted until the night of, which is like the space of like probably 3 weeks, and we debated every scenario from then until the show, like before the show had even happened. And he was already saying, I don't respect their opinions. So
yeah.
I don't. And it, you know, it had nothing to do with what went down that particular show. But also, again, because there is another show where someone, we will go through them, but the one that is five stars is as nice as it is. It also makes us sound like we're the best comedians who ever existed.
Yeah.
Which is also not true.
But that's the whole thing. Like, the review may have only seen like three shows so far and two sucked and you were great. They're like, dude, the festival,
yeah,
these guys
are... Yeah, it is subjective. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, but at least the five-star person is someone who is... like, it's actually a blog that now got a bit big.
Yeah.
And they have, like, they have other people reviewing. So in our case, it was actually the person who runs it and their partner. And the partner is the one who wrote the review. But they have other people, right?
Yeah. They have other people. But and they, you know, she has the creator of it also has a full-time job. So it's like they understand the arts and the whole, you know, we're all slaving away, trying our best. So the reviews are, I think, mostly quite
nice.
Positive.
Positive.
Yeah.
And then there is one in the middle that is actually a secret we don't know about yet. We only looked at the star system before this recording. We have not read, none of us, Annie or me or you, have read it. And we're going to read it on this episode.
Oh, yeah.
But we can start with the bad one because I think it's going to take a longer.
All right, real quick. So when you saw the bad one, your initial reaction was what? What was your instinctive reaction? Like, fuck these reviewers or...
Initially, because I'd been waiting for the review to drop. We've got Google alerts on ourselves and the show. And it didn't come through. And I'm like, you know... That's annoying. You give them free tickets to the show. It's been like 5 or 6 days. Where the hell is this review? So I went digging for it and then I found it. And immediately I'm like, oh, I'm going to read it to Mo, who's across the table. Mm. But as soon as I saw his reaction, I thought, I regret that. Because some people leave it until the run has finished to read the reviews. And I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. And I regret reading it across the table. We had a show to go to within like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. I mean... again, it's, I don't think it's actually about the content of it at all.
Yeah.
I think it's about the subjectivity of it.
Yeah.
And because this is, I think it's the most, like the most respected publication in this festival is The Age.
Yes.
That's the one that everyone's like, The Age gave them this. And that's the one they put on their
website,
on
whatever,
their website or their little, what is it called?
Ticketing,
I keep forgetting. No. What are the plant that people put to like put the reviews in?
Laurels.
Oh, the laurels. Yeah. Everyone puts the fucking laurels thing.
Yeah.
With like, The Age said this, which is like, fine, whatever. But like, I now know the system. The system is that they send one person who actually does not work for The Age. It's a person who...
Freelancer.
Yeah.
So it's basically a... Even if they have a journalist background or whatever, it's just a one person opinion.
They've written articles before.
And also, it can very much depends on like, you know, their race or their mood that day.
Yeah.
It can also just not be, they can be not a good match for this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. True. Yeah.
I mean,
shows like, out there for everybody.
Yeah, like put it this way. Like, for example, myself, I don't know too much about, let's say, Egypt, Middle Eastern stuff. Mm. If I were to come here and you just tell me those jokes, I'm like, oh, he's just playing off of that card.
Exactly.
He's doing that thing, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I see. That's what it, you know. Yeah. But it's like, so someone who knows, like, I can totally relate. Like, I've been to China before. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
Whereas, and it's very true because, like, over here, the perception of China is very different from, let's say, perception of China in China or in Asia.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I was watching He Huang's show and it was funny and everything, but I was like, oh, this is because your audience thinks China is this way.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I'm like, buddy, this is, you know.
Every time... like Mo performed on the first trip, I could feel the tension when China just got mentioned.
Yeah,
I don't see it anymore because like I'm so closely, I think,
but I also adjusted as well.
Yeah. And now like I know the places you're talking about, the kinds of people that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So yeah, to me it seems like a very unfair statement to call, essentially in the review, call Mo,
we can get into
racist.
The review a bit. Yeah, basically. And I mean, yeah, you're also right. Like, and actually something else which sounds like I'm basically making excuses, but it's the actual truth that Annie can back me up on. Originally, the Age reviewer that we had agreed to was actually supposed to come on another night. And it's a different person. So what happened is that this second person who ended up reviewing us put in a request as well. And we said to the Age, hey, you have two people on two different nights. And then the second person said, oh, the first person can't make it anymore.
Well, actually DM the reviewer. That's how easy it is to get in contact.
Yeah. And then like,
hey,
actually,
what's going on here?
Funny enough, the original night that if that other person had come on that night, that was one of our best nights in the entire run. So I wholeheartedly believe if they had come that night, they would have given us probably a 4 or 5 star review because it was a killer show. So it also depends on the mood of the night, which again is like, I actually think Annie made a great point. Annie's like, they should come one in the beginning and one at the end.
Yeah.
Then give like a fair, like, okay.
Get an average.
In somewhere in the middle.
This is my
exactly.
radical review system. And you should be reviewing what's in the middle of that. And be like, MVP, what was the score, you know?
Agreed.
Like, most improved. Most improved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely agreed.
Yeah. Because I think we should value people being able to take on feedback themselves and then curating, you know, criticizing themselves, and then here's the final product. What do you think now?
Actually, I recommend, we didn't agree on this before, but I recommend you give it to Vivek and he can read
it.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
this is the new review you haven't
this
read
is,
yet.
No, this is the
this
H is one.
The,
we're going to start with the two-star
one. Short,
this is the two-star one.
It's
right.
quite short. Yeah.
All right. So over here, Annie Louie and Mohammed Magdi, too haram to handle. All right, okay. Fashioned as a comedian couple double bill, Mohammed Magdi, an Egyptian who's lived in China for the past 11 years.
Is this your reviewer voice?
Performs for the first half of Too Haram to Handle, followed by Annie Louie, an Asian Australian with ancestral roots in Hong Kong and China. There could have been interesting material mined from the couple's asynchrony, but their sets are disparate and barely interact with each other.
It's not desperate.
No,
right?
desperate. Yeah, desperate. Yeah.
Their sets are desperate.
Yeah, exactly. They're desperate. They barely interact. So, okay, you can already tell from this is that he came out, okay, it's a double bill. They must have some little overlap. They'll milk each other and come out happy to, hey, are you talking about me?
Yeah.
No. And like this hook comes out, pulls you away from the stage. You know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Some silly, like, over the top, like, rehearsed.
Yeah.
Act, even though all of our marketing material, including the flyers, are very clearly saying it's a split bill show.
Yeah.
Which means one after the other.
Yes.
And this person still was supposed to review the show, maybe do some homework, still thought like, oh, why are they not interacting with each other?
We also do mention each other's sets a lot and each other in the material.
Calling backs and stuff, right?
Yeah, callbacks and stuff. Yeah. And then we have the Q&A, which they also mentioned. But yeah.
So I guess the definition of barely interact for them wasn't like you calling back each other's sets. Like you should be out there going like,
I wanted a sketch show. Sketch tour.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, so what are you doing here? Yeah. It's my set.
Whoa. Who is this? My girlfriend?
Yeah. I mean, is she standing there? Is she looking at me right now, everyone?
Hey, everyone. It's a woman telling jokes. What is going on?
Yeah, as an Egyptian, I don't approve.
Yeah, exactly. You know
what
I mean?
All right, okay, so.
They wanted the show of you two doing a show. Yeah,
exactly.
Hey, everyone. We're too hairy to handle.
Yeah, I'm just a cuck watching now.
Yeah, exactly.
Go on.
Yeah, exactly. They're interacting well.
Yeah,
okay,
so keep reading.
With an off-putting delivery style of cheerful abrasiveness, Magdi takes aim at the audience and treads tired ground as he rehashes stereotypes about Chinese people. All right, hold on. First a second. Rehashing stereotypes about Chinese people, which already tells you that this reviewer has a limited capacity of stereotypes of Chinese people.
Correct.
He's like, okay, let me guess. Crowded. Ooh.
Yeah.
He did that
Which
one.
Actually, I when Annie read, by the way, she read it to me one time. I've never looked at it again, but I remembered certain words. And that actually made me reflect on my set because it's quite a short set, 25 minutes. I genuinely don't think, and Annie, I give you full permission on this podcast to tell me if there is even one stereotype that I talk about. Because I don't, like, the stereotypes to go very, very basic on Chinese people is like, what, they're like bad drivers, small
good
dicks. Like, I'm going like really, really low, right?
Like, I guess none of like, they like money, but like the joke's very clever. They like money. China can be polluted. These are just facts.
Yeah,
like you're a Chinese. Like I'm not saying this like because we're dating, you should be biased. But again,
no,
I give you full permission.
I can think back to when the first time I heard any of these jokes, and I didn't think that they were unoriginal. Honestly, because like back then, I would have been listening as more of a, you know, a neutral comedy, like enjoyer.
Yeah, which is why like when I heard this, I'm like, I don't even, like, I don't want to get defensive about it, but I actually don't think you're even, this is not even factual at all.
Yeah.
Because even rehashing stereotypes, there is no stereotypes at all.
Yeah, to rehash, yeah.
To
But I think, like, what? Maybe this person's capacity of knowledge of Chinese people, unfortunately, is they like money.
You know? But you know what it is? I think, and you said it as well. I think it's, and you, Vivek, as well. I think it's their very limited understanding. So I think they're just, it's that classic, like, privilege of being offended on behalf of other people.
Yeah.
Because my material, which obviously, like, coming from my experience living in China, is like, you know, I live there. This is my experience there. They're like, he doesn't sound like very positive about it.
Yeah.
So someone must be offended. Right, I'm going to say that it's offensive.
So I think I understand what's happening. Like, so they have taken their experience of living amongst Chinese people and said, wait, there's a similarity between his thing over there. Now, clearly, there's no way, because I've never been to China, which means he's seeing a China that I'm seeing living in Australia. So clearly, he must be getting the stereotypical view that I would amongst Chinese people.
Right. And so, you know what's even funnier? Is that the 5-star review is from a Chinese person.
Hey!
So it's, which is, exactly, tells you everything about how limited this person's understanding of even what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you will, we can read the Chinese person's one later.
Yeah.
And how much they enjoyed it.
Exactly. No, this is very true. It's one of those things like, oh, he should not be saying this about them. Like, are they okay with it? They're okay with it. But like, I don't think it's right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So he, as he rehashes stereotypes about Chinese people, less punching down, more culturally insensitive and uncomfortable.
That's it.
And this is the key. So when we did Comedy Zone Asia as well before, all the Asian comedians, we were always every now watching where the Caucasian white person is like, oh, I shouldn't laugh at this.
The audience members.
The Asians are like, it's so true. We do that. The
exactly.
But I know you do, but you shouldn't be, you know, making fun of it.
Yeah.
You should not be proud of this. How are you okay with this? They're mocking you, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the issue is that and this one I would tell people, like, when you've come to a point in your life where you accepted your flaws and be like, I can laugh about it, you're at a higher level than someone who's saying like, but that's not a good thing to have flaws. Why would you admit that, you know? And I think that's the issue why people over here have this whole insecurity, like life's terrible and everything, because like nobody feels that their life is good and no one's okay with it, because like you can't be good with a bad life. You know, this is not right. You should not be able to live with it. You should be, you know, finding help and everything. It's like, no, I'm okay. Like, I was just telling yesterday, I was like, I know, like, I'm a little bit crazy when it comes to my workaholism and everything, but like, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I get the fucking job done.
Yeah.
You know?
And you can take a joke.
I can take a joke. I mean, the number of times the comics have mocked me about how I don't take a break.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think Jen Han had this really good joke. He was like, so I have this joke about the sexual conviction record check, right? Where I have to get this record to show people I don't touch kids and everything. And Jen Han is like, the funniest thing is that even if Vivek was in a room full of kids, he'd have no time to test them. He's so busy working.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's so on point.
Yeah.
I'd be like, can I touch you later? I'm actually finishing this PowerPoint right now.
It's just like you tell everybody, touch you later, touch you later.
Yeah.
Instead of talk to you later.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk later,
exactly.
Later.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, you see, again, like, I fully embrace the fact that I'm a workaholic, and everyone's like, dude, calm down. I'm like,
yeah.
And that's what I mean. It's like, and what, if I were to say that, they're like, oh, that's not right. How are you okay with this?
That reminds me so much of my last joke is about the potential of getting an abortion. And I'm like, let's be real. When would I have time for that? I'm too busy to get an abortion. And people get so tense.
Yeah, they're like, ooh.
So tense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, because they're like, how are you okay with this? This is not right.
But like, you're trying to speak your lived experience for those people who can feel validated, right? Like, I'm not talking to the people who don't understand this, but for the women in the room who like have been through a similar experience, like, they're just going to get it. So in a way, if you don't allow us to talk about that stuff, you're invalidating those people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what I think it is. Okay, all right, coming at. He has gems in his set from an entertaining story about an Egyptian Paralympic delegation to the irony of seeking refuge from an authoritarian state in China, but many of its punchlines evolve into lewdness.
Lewdness.
Okay. Lewdness is such an interesting one, because I think my punchlines this year devolved into lewdness much more than yours.
It's also, lewdness is another thing I have with the reviewers in general, which I told Annie, which is the fact that the reviewers, in order for them, for their reviews to stand out or like sound like something, they just pick big words.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just sounds like someone writing on Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah.
So they have to pick, like, lewdness could have actually used another word.
Yeah.
But just like, oh, let me just pick a fancy word. It's like, you don't need to do that.
Lewdness makes me think blue material.
Yeah.
But does it also include swearing? Do you think? What does it mean? Like, that's the point. When you read something, I don't know what that means. I'm a writer. I'm like, I don't know what it means.
It's just,
I mean, lewdness, if you translate it directly, I guess, from Arabic, it's dirtiness.
Yeah.
But it's like, that could be anything, I guess. But also,
perverted? So is that perverted, a
perversion? I'll be honest with you. I think this was a typo. It should just be loudness.
This is true.
Many of my punchlines do devolve and loud. What the fuck, everyone?
This passport is useless. This goes loud, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is I was reading the next paragraph. It says, Louise Sett is smoother as she chronicles the challenges of a long-distance relationship. Her mother's racism, which again, let me clarify something.
Yeah.
So Annie's chronicles of her mother's racisms are okay.
Yes.
That's okay.
Exactly.
You get it?
Like, no, because you mentioned, obviously, like, my mom is racist, like, as a joke.
Yeah.
See, and this woman is okay with it.
Yeah.
Right?
So, clearly the reviewer is thinking like, well, if the minority is racist, I mean, that's what they do. That's what they do, you know? Like,
am I the minority here? I'm confused. Who's the minority? I think you're the minority.
In clearly the reviewer's eyes, is like Magdi is only punching down.
Right.
So she's put Muhammad in a higher place. Like, but you should know better than to punch down upon these Chinese, you know?
Oh, that's so interesting. You're higher status than
apparently
me in this.
Yeah. But you're...
Which is funny because your set talks about you being perceived as white in China.
Yes.
And now she's attached like, he's the white guy.
Oddly enough, she probably didn't realize she perceived him as white as well.
Exactly.
Whoa.
So in a way, in a weird twisted way, I'm happy with this review now.
Yeah.
Because I'm again achieving my
dream. Of white
dream
privilege.
Of being white privilege.
Exactly.
Gets a punch down because that puts you in a higher status to begin with.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I think you can see how careful she is with Louis and his comments here. He's like, her mother's racism and a particularly regrettable incident that kickstarted her courtship with Magdi, right? But then she's like, oh, but there are also callbacks to jokes that didn't land for the first time and overly long setups with minimal payoff. So it's like a really quick, like, but she wasn't perfect as well.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
You can tell
that she wasn't just wanted to unload just on me.
Yeah.
But she had to do both, and she's like, and it was all right. Some punchlines, and her mom's racism. Okay. Okay, thank you.
So it's very simple. You can see how with Muhammad, there's no pre-insult like compliment first.
Yes.
It's a lot of different.
It's just insults.
Yeah, with an with an off-putting.
I get the gems, right?
Yeah. So
I get some gems.
Your paragraph is like this: with an off-putting delivery style. So immediately it's off-putting delivery style.
Yes, I'm off-putting.
Off-putting. Put that in quotes. Off-putting.
Right. Yeah. You know? And then
actually,
like,
I want to name the next show. What is it? She's saying a cheerful abrasiveness.
I like that too. Yeah,
that's a good name for a show.
Actually, cheerful abrasiveness would be a good quote.
Yeah.
Abrasive. Yeah. Ooh, I kind of like this. It's a fun abrasive.
Right, there you go. I'm going to use that without the stars.
So you can see.
Cheerful abrasive, the age.
Yeah.
It's true.
I mean, I put it this way. Like, you can actually like see how the slaps are coming, right? You've got the forehand slap as in like the palm slap. I mean, like with an off-putting delivery style. Whap-ha! Okay.
Yeah.
Then you've got the backhand slap with a cheerful. You know, abrasive is front hand slap. Pah! Like that again. Magdi takes aim at the audience and treads tired ground as he rehashes stereotypes about Chinese people. All right, so you can see within that just one sentence, there's only cheerful that is positive.
Yes.
She went straight and beat the shit out of you.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
But with Annie, it's like Annie said it's smoother as she chronicles from challenges.
Challenges.
Yeah. The choice of wording is very interesting, actually.
The challenges of ones as compared to Magdi.
So even if it wasn't funny, she was challenged.
Yeah.
Come on. She's had a hard life
here in a developed country.
Exactly.
It was really hard.
And what the reviewer forgets is that this long-distance relationship is also bared by Magdi as well.
Yes.
So he also faces the same challenges. But it's her long-distance.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
This motherfucker's off-putting delivery style probably off-put any challenge he ever faced with his cheerful abrasiveness,
right,
you know.
Right.
So you have the challenges of a long-distance relationship. And on top of that, Annie, not just that, like, you have to bear with your mother's racism.
Oh, life.
Do you understand?
Life's
like,
bad.
One day you're, like, crying, like, I really miss Muhammad. Like, mom, you know, it's tough being, you know. And, like, you know, you're trying to, like, you know, you're closing your eyes. Your mother's like, keep them open. They're too small already. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. What's going on, you know? You know, and like these kinds of things, and you're like, okay, and a particularly regrettable incident. Again, this incident involves you as well, Muhammad.
It does involve me.
But yet, over here, it's regrettably particularly regrettable incident.
Yeah, it's very funny.
I think
she
just wants us to break up. I think this is what. I mean, it's
maybe if we break up and she slides into my DMs.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's the plan.
She's like, let me just say, I'd like to be cheerfully abrasive with me. You know what I mean? Let me just say, if you're as abrasive as you can be, I'll be very cheerful.
That's great.
Yeah. And trust me, I will no longer put you off. You know?
Next year, 5 stars.
Exactly. Yeah. Now,
it continues, right?
Ending with an Ask Me Anything segment that prolongs the awkwardness.
There was no awkwardness.
Yeah.
It was also because people weren't asking any questions that night.
That particular night.
Yeah, that night.
I think, we had a plan that we came up again, which goes back to like, this should come back again at the end of the run. We had a plan that we developed after a few nights that if people are not prompted enough, we can start asking each other questions.
Yeah.
That like, you know, like, oh yeah, we're still talking on stage. But yeah, she came on one.
And also, those questions are very serious that night. They actually asked about, like, how do you feel about the political situation in Hong Kong doing comedy there?
Damn.
And it led to a serious answer. And then we learned to just not do that. Like, stop answering things seriously. Yeah. Everything has to go
everything
for the
has
laugh.
To be a joke.
Everything.
Yeah.
So I'll give you this. Like, in my.
But wait. I actually want to finish that because you missed the very last line. After awkwardness, it says, Too Haram to Handle has flashes of brilliance.
Yeah.
But never gets there. So flashes of brilliance is another quote that you can pull out of context.
Yeah.
Actually, you can just pull the word brilliance.
Yeah.
It's like, both of us can put it on our poster.
Yeah, brilliance.
Brilliance, the age.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to make it sound such like a brilliant show.
Hey,
I am brilliance.
Yeah.
I am the noun.
Yeah. They just wrote your review like one word, brilliance.
Yeah.
That was your review.
And not untrue. In fact, a lot of our peers put completely fake reviews. So I'm putting...
I'm not kidding. Well, the 2022 year, I put so much effort in that show with a full upright standing coffin. 3.5 stars. The only thing I did pull out as a fuck you was brilliant. I swear to
there
God.
There you go.
Brilliant. The age.
I'm right.
Just do it.
I think I'm going to use brilliance.
Yeah. So now you have brilliant. You have brilliance.
Yeah.
next year, kind of cut them and just say something brilliantly.
Brilliantly.
What did you want to?
No, I was just saying. So every night of my show, I let the audience ask me one question. I have my whole list of all 12
nice.
Shows.
Yeah.
However, I'm going to leave that for the Patreon episode.
Whoa. All right. Yeah. We'll get to yours on the Patreon. We do have two more.
Yeah.
So I don't want to like run out of time. Let's do the 5-star one. Because that one is very long, so I'm not going to read all of it. Also because I don't want to read the 5-star review that sounds like we're tooting our own horn. Yeah. But this is, again, as nice as this review is, it's also like over the top nice, which is, again, super subjective. As happy as I am with it, as the performer on stage that are being praised, very subjective. Someone, in fact, can read this and come in and be disappointed because this puts us at such a high.
We're gods.
Like, this is quickly, it is, you know, this woman who, again, is a professional reviewer now, has a team that writes for her. In fact, at this show, it was her. She's Chinese, by the way. And she's with her partner who's white. And I believe he wrote it, but like, she's the boss. So she signs off on it. But this review talks about not only, like, I'm jumping to the better part, not only that this is a double bill show, but how often you get the opportunity to experience one that they are in a relationship. So I was very curious to how it played out. Introducing the show, they also break down every single beat of the show. And so one thing that happened when these people were on that night is that while Annie was introducing me to go up to do the first set, I actually knocked down a bottle and it fell backstage and Annie immediately caught it. And then she like riffed on it.
I didn't catch it physically, but
no, caught the
It was like clang, and then I said, I guess I'll be doing the show solo. I was like, this will be
so
a solo show.
Here, they say there was a loud crash from behind the curtains where Muhammad was hiding out, and his quick wit kicked in, and she proclaimed the show is going to be performed solo. And it was already hilarious, and the show hasn't even started. So this person's like a big fan.
The off-putting cheerful abrasiveness in the backstage started the show.
I was abrasiveness with the bottle.
Yeah.
I was
so
abrasive.
Off-putting, I couldn't even stay balanced.
Yeah, and then, you know, this is, again, a lot of praise. Opening with some fantastic crowd work. Muhammad seeks some, quote, fellow Browns, unquote, in the audience.
Let me guess what the crowd was. How's everyone doing? Oh, that's such a good crowd work.
Revolutionary.
The exchange was hilarious, and Muhammad continued to use his Egyptian friend throughout the show, not necessarily a requirement for his material, but certainly helps to have an objective witness when discussing certain aspects of his culture. A lot of other praise, and then he goes, while Muhammad does have many hilarious stories about his life and professional, the best part would be the decision to move from Egypt to China and the passport that he tried to upgrade, not just for better citizenship status, but because of the passport legit needed to be upgraded. Why? Well, you'll just have to see the show to find out yourself.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Great. Unnecessary, I would say. It's like, you know, it's a long review, but it's like, I think someone can read this and come to a show and be like, it's good, but it's not this good.
We were expecting, you know? Like, where's the bottle falling this
show? Right, right, exactly. And then a lot of praise for Annie, and then this is one of the many praises for Annie. Annie's crowd work is fantastic. She's not only
afraid... already used that one, though, at the top, you know, repeating.
Yeah.
We get it, it's fantastic.
She's fantastic, he's fantastic. Yeah, it's like in Trump voice. You're fantastic, you're fantastic.
You're fantastic.
You're fat. Fantastic. Yeah. Not only regarding her relationship, she's not afraid to get personal. Not only regarding her relationship with Muhammad, but also getting into how the first time they met resulted in a trip to the doctors. Not to worry, everything is fine. But I was impressed with how forthcoming she was about everything and her ability to turn something very personal, something hilarious, a sight to behold. Over the
behold.
Top.
Beholden the sight.
Keep that in your eyes.
Yeah. Exactly. Beholden.
more praise, and then three paragraphs later. It takes a special breed of comedians to be so open and honest about their own life experiences. And both Annie and Muhammad are up there with some of the best.
Wow.
I'm gonna have to say here, we're not up there with some of the best.
Some of the best what? They haven't really said. Yeah.
It's so open. Like, yeah, that I am like just part of me. Like
I'm talking I'm internationally. Exactly. Yeah.
We're good comedians. We're very confident. We're not up there with some of the best. we're good. We're fine. Both are extremely funny. Thank you. And both delivered fantastic sets. However, whilst the question time at the end was nice and to have them both on stage, I would have liked to see them perform some stand-up material together. Again, with the together question.
Yeah.
But then he also say, they have their own little bits about each other in their material, but it would have been fantastic to have them both able to respond in jest. And that isn't really a criticism. Your job is to criticize. You can.
Yeah.
It's more of a wish list for their next show that hopefully they develop together. Great review.
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah.
Too praising.
I would like it to be the way I wish it was, but hey, who am I to ask?
You know? Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is like, yeah, 5-star.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, it was more accurate with the play-by-play.
I agree with that.
That was a really good night. That was a great night. Like,
it was a great night.
You know, I walk away going, that was a 5-star performance for me. Yep. It was a 5-star globally?
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, you know, this is not objective, and neither is the other one. And maybe the third one won't be either. But before we get to the third one, speaking of 5-star, we have a friend, friends of the podcast who are also a 5-star venue, who are doing their 11th anniversary. Craftismo was mentioned many times in this podcast before. They're also my neighbors on Taiping Shan. Craftismo is having its 11th anniversary. Did you know that Craftismo has been around for 11 years?
Hey, double one, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
They are having their anniversary on the 27th of April. You all know where it is. It's in Taiping Shan. Craftismo is a little craft brewery on Taiping Shan. And they are having free beer on tap any time on the 27th from 2 p.m. to 8:30. They're going to have free beer with any purchase that is biggest. This is the biggest thing that is happening on the day. They're also going to have a catty rolls from Bengal Brothers, some new merch. And if any of our listeners go on that day, just say they listen to the podcast, you get free beer.
Oh!
Well, that literally was smooth, man. You didn't even get paid for this.
Yeah,
you just love them.
No, like, I'm actually a big fan of them. Yeah. Akil, one of the guys who run it, is a lovely guy. And it's just like, it's also one of these like, Hong Kong can feel a bit corporate at points, and Craftismo is one of the things that's like just holding out.
Let me take a moment to review your ad for
Yeah.
While Mandy did mention the word correctly, the way he pronounced the free beer option, leaving it to the last, caused me certain tension to worry. Did he forget the deal we created with Craftissimo? Luckily, Annie Louie, he stays silent as appropriate for this ad since she's not involved in it, allowed Magdi to regroup and craft the final phrase of anyone who mentions the podcast gets a free beer.
If anyone would like to book Muhammad for his cheerful abrasiveness, exactly, I am his manager now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hit me up.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So on the 27th of April, go to Craftissimo. Just say you're a listener of the podcast. In fact, tell your friends they are listeners of the podcast. They will get free beer too. Spread the word. Maybe they won't make any money that day, but hey, I did my part.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just say you're a listener of the podcast, friend of Vivek and Mohammed. Yeah. Get free beer on the 27th of Craftissimo and do support them because they're one of the coolest venues of Taiping Chan. Back to reviews. Let's end with the three-star review.
I accidentally read the first line. I'm already laughing.
Ah, hilarious. All right.
Oh my God.
Let's do it.
So okay, I know exactly.
Don't cheat. Yeah, you're not.
I know exactly the day that they came now.
Uh-oh.
You'll be able to guess too.
Of course.
Here we go.
All right, let's do it, everyone. We're at the end of the episode and the last review for Haram to Handle.
We are leaving links to all these in the show.
No, we're not.
We're not? Oh,
no,
damn.
People can find them on their own. Yeah, the good or the bad. People can find them on their own.
Yeah, figure it out, man.
Yeah, it's a fun little Easter.
I mean, we can say now, the first one is from The Age, which is a big publication in Australia. The second one, the good one, is from Lilithia.net. Lilithia.net. And the third one, I don't know what it's from.
It's hard to explain the concept because I was trying to tell people about it and it's confusing. So the Comedy Festival has amateur reviewers that they don't pay, but they get applications for. So anyone who just is a comedy fan can sign up. And that used to be whoever runs around and sees the most shows and puts up a little review, like 50 words, they'll win. Now they've changed the system and the Comedy Festival decides through the quality of the reviews who's going to win this award.
Right,
so it's called Funny Ton. So they have four writers. And so this was an amateur reviewer who came to our show and this is the three-star review.
Okay.
Okay. So this person actually did win the award.
Amateur reviewer.
Yes.
For best amateur reviewer.
Which is such a funny phrase. Right, yeah.
It's like
best amateur.
Like, best amateur. You're
it's
not
like
great,
the best open micer.
Yeah.
He's the open micer of reviewers.
It is. Exactly. We literally that's a really good explanation.
Your headliner for tonight was the best open micer last Tuesday. Please welcome to the stage with 5 minutes of material.
Person.
Just barely.
All right. Let's get into it.
All right. Two Haram to Handle. A shockingly accurate title for a show I really wanted to love. Too Haram to Handle is a double bill featuring Annie Louie and Muhammad Magdi. Magdi's first joke of the evening consisted of asking a masked audience member whether they had AIDS.
It was the Auslan night.
They came on the AIDS night.
On the Auslan night.
It's the Auslan and the AIDS night. That makes me so happy.
Yeah, just visualize me in the wings having a breakdown. Like, not in Melbourne. No.
Also, keep going. I can't just want that.
One of the only things that I told Mama not to do during this show was
you did not explicitly say, don't say
well,
if you have AIDS.
Am I supposed to list everything? Like, don't call someone a leper. Like, I don't know.
I am genuinely, you might think I'm joking or this for the podcast. I'm very happy this happened because this is very funny.
I told him,
the reviewers that day. Because, full disclosure, that show did not go well. I will admit. This is probably the lowest show I've done in the entire season. And it was because I asked someone if they have AIDS. But this is like part of the game, you know? And also, I didn't say, oh, you have AIDS, you piece of shit, you should die.
Yeah.
Here's what happened. Before you continue.
I think the court has heard enough.
Yeah, exactly.
This is so funny. Before you continue, what happened is that very early in the set, I basically surveyed the crowd, as I do sometimes. And it's just, whatever, you're pointing out things you're seeing in the room. And I go, oh, here's someone with a mask. What do you have, COVID, AIDS? And then they're like, whoa. And I'm like, of course we don't have COVID. It doesn't exist.
Oh.
And it's like, clearly, it's just a comedian just dicking around, just saying shit like, whatever, you know? And then you go into, and I will admit, like, it took me like maybe 15 minutes into a 25-minute material set to actually win them back. And I did. But I understand that. But as a comedian, you step on landmines. That's part of the game. Unless you want to play super safe, which I don't like to do because I get bored. So I like to say dumb shit, knowing that the audience is in a comedy show. This would be very different if I'm standing on the street, pointing at someone who's having a mask. Hey, you have AIDS, you piece of shit. So obviously, that's not what's happening. So the fact that this person was offended by that is hilarious to me.
Just take a moment to imagine that person coming to the show, but looking around, like, okay, it was a good double bill. Okay, there's a lot of people. No, it's pretty good sales. There's a lot of people in the show. Please welcome today, Muhammad Mahdi. All right, goodbye. Yeah. Muhammad comes out. Hey, what the fuck are you wearing a mask? What are your fucking AIDS got there? Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. I laughed so hard I farted. Just
But again, I didn't even say this and like dwell on them. I just said that like, haha, and then it got awkward. And then we moved on.
Like
that woman is never coming to any of our shows again.
That reviewer probably saw you do that opening line, immediately went and Googled, what the fuck is haram? Yeah. Shit, this is way too haram.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Yeah. Funny you say that because they say...
I thought it was too harmful to...
Yeah, so consisted of asking a masked audience member whether they had AIDS, which may in fact be too harm for me to handle. I mean, AIDS jokes in 2024? Question mark. Really? Question mark. The rest of his set was engaging, if a little abrasive.
Abrasive. Yeah, nice. Love it. I promise you, because this one came out very late.
Yeah.
I promise you that he read the other person's review.
I reckon. Yeah.
Yeah, but keep going. He's like,
detailing his experiences moving from Egypt to Hong Kong and his life there. You got I would say 80% of this review. I get one sentence. That was the AIDS thing got way too much airtime.
But you can tell, honestly, you can tell from that he never moved on from that, even when the audience did.
Yeah.
It's like he just like got triggered, even with his own words. In 2024, really? Also, he's saying it's a joke. It wasn't a joke. I would just say, do you have AIDS?
Hold on. Like, is AIDS?
There's
gone?
No AIDS joke. And also, what do you mean? Like,
AIDS doesn't exist anymore?
It does.
So why is it not a thing to talk about in 2024?
Yeah, that is weird. That's actually, again, that is like just discrediting anyone's experience with AIDS.
Yeah, thank
you. This guy's stance on AIDS is your same stance on COVID. He's like, does it exist?
Are you still talking about it?
Yeah.
And even if you are to do an AIDS joke, which I did not, I literally, this was the whole exchange. What do you have?
It's meant to be a quick throwaway.
Throwaway. There is no joke, quote unquote, because I'm like, I just said, dumb thing, not a joke, and then we moved on. So even just like the other one, your description is actually not accurate. It's not even, it wasn't what happened.
You know what? This is like having a reviewer going to a Michelin star restaurant, right? And they serve you your main course with this dome covering on it, okay? This glass dome. They lift it up and they give you, that smoky kind of nitrogen smoke that they do?
Yeah.
And this guy's whole review is like, the smoke got me in my lungs. I couldn't breathe. And like, dude, that was just the
actually,
thing.
You know what? When it's more even, like, I think it sounds more like it. It's like, this whole review on this particular experience was smoking indoors? Really? In 2024?
Yeah, like, really? Do they
still allow smoking in restaurants?
At home, maybe? Exactly. But I can so, like, how this guy's not moving on at this lady or whatever.
He didn't move on at all.
Yeah.
His whole review is now...
Yeah.
He said the AIDS word and that derailed his whole set and fucked the rest of his set.
Pretty much. And then it goes, Louis' set detailed the way the pair met and her experiences visiting China. Altogether, a dissonant but interesting evening of stand-up.
Oh,
so that's it.
There's no adjectives for me to even pull.
Right. Yeah.
Like, what I could do is say that Annie visited China. That's the review. Hey, everybody. Thank you and good night.
Thank you. Mic drop.
Exactly. A world touring comedian, as quoted, visited China. She can do stand-up China. Damn.
Oh, my God. This is so much fun.
That is so funny. Like, visited China. 3 stars.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
about how
I would
rate.
I would have thought they gave it 5 stars for that, but apparently they didn't see the flag yet. So,
This is too much fun. I am not even joking. I'm very happy this person was there on the AIDS night because it's just funny. Thank you. We are well over time. This was a lot of fun. We will get to Patreon, some of Vivek reviews.
Yeah.
On the Patreon, Craftismo anniversary on 27th of April. Get there. We won't be there, unfortunately, but you guys should go. And tell your friends, just get free beer. Free beer is good.
I just realized you were doing a racist sound effect, and I laughed along. But a reviewer would have come and been like, that's not cool. But me, I'll finish the episode. Nice.
Very nice. Thank you, everyone. If you want to find the reviews on your own, you can find them. We're not going to put links to to them, positive or negative. One last thing, if you're going to a comedy show, don't read reviews from anybody. Like, genuinely, do not read reviews from anybody. They don't help. Just go find your own experience and just review it for yourself. That's it. Thank you. Goodbye.